Amen. Ezekiel chapter 28, and I'll be reading from the New King, from the King James Version. Don't worry about it if you don't have the King James. I will hit some other books as we go along. But I'm reading from the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, and I'm reading verses 15 and 16. And it says, sorry, I lost my spot right there real quick. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till, key word for today, iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. I'm going to read just a little bit more for context. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. Keyword. By the iniquity, again, keyword, of thy traffic. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, my bad. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Statement of faith. This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I'm mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I try to practice everything before I walk up here, and the statement of faith is one of the things I do not practice anymore, glory be to God, because we've been here so long, but I didn't write it in my notes either, and that's what I get. So next time I will practice. So a little context about how we got here, right? First, I'll state my objective. My objective today is to develop an understanding of the intent of sin. More so, my objective is to identify an understanding of sin's ultimate effect on the life of the believer. Okay? To identify sin's ultimate effect on the life of the believer. Context. We were in warrior development class, and we had just finished the study of homartiology. And homartiology is the doctrine of sin. So when you study sin, there's a vast amount of information behind it, but after we finished the class, God would not let it leave my mind. And he just kept it on me like, nope, you have to dig further into sin. You have to dig further. And so as he's having me dig further into it, my brother, I know you're online, introducing me to some words that I wasn't aware of, even as a former mathematics teacher that were mathematics related. And I want to kind of dig into what is going on right now with this. So Ezekiel was a prophet. Ezekiel would go from place to place, given the prophecies of the Lord. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, he's talking to two people in specific. He just finished talking to Tyre, and some of your Bibles it'll say Tyrus. But in that time, he's talking to two people. Pay attention to these. The prince of Tyre. And he also talks to the king of Tyre. Now, we'll deal with the prince first, because the verse that you heard me read in 11 through 15, he was talking to the king of Tyre. We'll get to him in a second. But the prince of Tyre made me think about something like, okay, God, why are you dealing with it this way? So let's go back to the beginning, right? The key word that's been going around here at Striving for the last couple of weeks is the word origin, right? Origins are important. Where something is derived from is important. So let's look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. So I'll read 1 through 5 to start, and then I'll go ahead and expound upon what's going on here. It says, all right, we're good. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, this is Ezekiel talking, Say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, and I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. So we got an initial issue here, right? Ezekiel is prophesying to the prince of Tyre, but look at what's happening initially. He's identifying his problem. He's like, oh, because you say you're the man, and you are God, and you sit in the seat of God, and you're wiser than Daniel, I got a problem with you. Because now, something's going on here, and you'll see as we go forward, the prince of Tyre is actually emulating something that we're going to see here further. It says, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. So the prince of Tyre's first issue was misappropriation. He misappropriated where his blessings were coming from. Now, it's easy to get caught up in that, because if you understand where Tyre sits, Tyre is modern day Lebanon, and Tyre is split into two sections. So the northern part, the top part of Tyre, is the mainland, but the southern part of Tyre is an island. And that island to this day has one of the richest harbors in the world. So money was always flowing through Tyre. It's almost the equivalency of how you could say with the US, right? Like the position of president in the US, and it's not a political statement, just a fact. The position of president in the US is held at such high regard on a world scale because of the wealth of the nation. The economy of the world filters itself through here. So that's what makes the position such a position of power. We crash, they all crash. We crash, China crashes. We crash, Russia will eventually crash. All the other nations at some point will go through an issue, and that's why you see some of the things happening in the world today where other countries are trying to separate themselves from us, because they're like, hey man, you got too much of a power hold on us. This ain't presidential, this is just US related. And so Tyre was the same thing. So the prince of Tyre started feeling himself. He's like, man, we on top. We the richest nation, we rich. Y'all can't tell me nothing. I think I'm a god. Like, what you gonna do? Exactly, right? And like, what you gonna do? Well, God said, no problem. See that? Here, son of man, come here. Ezekiel, come here. I want you to go talk to him. And this is what I want you to tell him. So now he's illustrated the problem. Let's read a little further about what the big issue is, and then we'll get to the main context. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as a heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, which eventually was the Babylonians, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord. Lesson to us as believers, when we misunderstand where our blessings come from, we put ourselves in the same opposition against God that the prince of Tyre did. We may not do it at the same level, but we're going to talk about that here in a second. But we put ourselves in the exact same position. Man, this house is nice. This is my house. I got this. God will burn that down right now. This is my cash, my savings account. I got this. Gotta switch all this to cryptocurrency tomorrow. But that's how it works, right? Because we put ourselves in opposition with God because we elevate ourselves unknowingly, not always unknowingly. Some people think they're gods. Like that's just like their faith based out there that believe that some people believe they're gods. But we have to be careful about the misappropriation as believers, because if we misappropriate, we know better. We know who God is. So the second we decide to make that change, and we're going to get into the King of Tyre here, we could see what the true problem with sin is and what happens. So I'm going to go a little further. Let's read starting at verse 11. And this is where we have, and I want to explain this as we're reading it, right? Because it's hard to pick it up if you're not really looking for it. So Ezekiel's conversation is still to the King of Tyre, but when he transitions from the prince to the king, it takes more of a spiritual turn, right? So, and we, if you know the history of Satan and his origin and how he got kicked down to the earth and that whole concept, you pick up on it pretty fast. And some people disagree with that, but we have facts, right? Like, because we also find the same thing happen with the prince of Persia in Daniel 10, and we also saw this same connotation in Isaiah chapter 14. Same thing happens where the devil presents himself as somebody, but he doesn't call himself Satan in the moment. So let's read about the King of Tyre. It says, and I'm reading Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11 through 15. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying," Ezekiel talking, "son of man, take up a lamentation," feel bad for him, cry for him, "upon the king of Tyrus," and some of your Bibles will say Tyre, "and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." This is a big deal. Look at what God is doing as he's speaking through Ezekiel. Inside that prophecy, he's actually giving dude props. He was like, man, I gave you everything. Like, you was that quote unquote guy. Don't get too high, but you was that guy up here. I'll say it again. "Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." That's a compliment. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." That's a compliment. "Every precious stone was thy covering." That's a compliment. But pay attention, because what he's doing is he's complimenting his own creation. God is complimenting what he know he created. Like, I gave it all to you, bro. Like, you had, I gave you gold timbrels. I gave you everything. But let's keep going. "Thou was perfect in thy ways." I'm at verse 15. "Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till," here's that key word again, "iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude," and I'm going somewhere with this, "of thine iniquities." Watch that again. "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." So, what happened? Satan's in heaven, right? Satan's one of them guys in heaven. He's glorifying God. He was a perfect creation for God's glory. Remember, when you look at the punishment of people and angels, angels are different beings from us. So they have certain things that operate differently when you go into angelology. The problem with Satan was he was so nice, he started to feel himself too. Same situation that happened with the Prince of Tyr. Man, I'm that guy. I'm up here, I got the timbrels, I'm making a joyful noise for God, I'm over the music, I'm doing my thing. And what built inside of him was pride. Now that pride can be identified as, we know, sin. I'm gonna pause here. One of the things that always kind of got me earlier in as a believer when God had me start studying this, I never really understood when Satan got kicked out, why did the other guys go with him, or gals, or and angels, right? Like, why did more than one get kicked out? Like, I never had a full understanding of what was going on with that until God started really making me study this concept of sin. So now this envelops in his heart. Notice, God did not sit there and create sin. That's a big misconception. He did not create sin. Sin is a reaction to an action. So it is a reaction to Satan going against God's will inside of his heart. How do I know that? Definition of sin. Definition of sin: anything that is in opposition to God's will. As soon as he allowed that pride into his heart, which we make the mistake of doing all the time, as soon as he allowed that pride into his heart, he went against God's will because it's a sin. Now that that sin has enveloped inside of him, something happens. Now, Striving for Perfection Ministries. When I get into this next part now, I'm going to be looking for heads nodding. Don't do that to me, okay? I want you to pay attention to this because I'm going to talk about some math. You know how we get with math. I ain't come here on Sunday for no math. I need you to help me out. Thank you, Papa Jay. I know Papa Jay got me, you know what I'm saying? But we start seeing, okay, now sin happens. Satan gets kicked out. The fallen angels get kicked out. And we see a pattern that God creates, and we'll talk about it here in a second. As soon as sin established itself, what happened between him and Satan, and him and Lucifer at the time, now transitioning to Satan? He had to separate them. He was like, no, you can't be here. You envelop sin in your heart. Because you envelop sin in your heart, and Isaiah 52 tells us that he doesn't reside in the same place as sin, we have a separation happening. So then I start asking, okay, God, back to what Pastor's been having us on this year, what is the intent or purpose of sin? Well, that intent or purpose is to separate us from God. How do I know this to be true? Let's go look at the facts. Same thing happened in Genesis. You don't have to turn there. I'll tell you the ones we got to turn to, so don't worry about turning to it. Genesis chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. Adam and Eve, when they ate of the forbidden fruit, that was the separation between God and humanity. We saw the same thing happen with Cain and Abel. With Abel, Genesis 4, verses 11 through 16. That's the separation from God's presence and his blessing. We saw the same thing happen with the generation of Noah. The separation of the wicked and the righteous. He took Noah, his people, put him on the ark. The rest of y'all, you out of here. Right? So we see separation happening. But why did God do that with each one? It was the introduction of sin into his presence. We got to be so careful when we think about this, because the intent of sin is to separate. Stay with me on that, because this is coming down to us. The intent of sin is to separate. Now, we still got to answer that question. Why the other ones got kicked out? And I want to talk about that in this pattern. And sin is something, it's a term that I just learned, and I thank you, my brother, for that, that's called fractal. Fractal is a geometric figure. I won't go all crazy about it, but Marcus, can you put that first image up there for me, sir? Thank you. So, sin is like this image. This image is called a cardioid. A cardioid is basically this image that kind of looks like a heart that is built from an infinite number
of cardioids.
It's like a snowflake. If you put a snowflake in your hand and you put a microscope on a snowflake, you'll see that a snowflake is actually built out of an infinite number of snowflakes because it's fractal. That's what that means. It just continues to spread. It infinitely spreads throughout. Now put that in the context of sin. When you sin, and when Lucifer sinned, and he invited that into himself, he opened up the ability for an infinite fracture to happen. So no, you can't stay here. Not because God couldn't destroy you. You can't stay here because I don't want you touching all these other people. You didn't already touch a couple of my angels. All of y'all get up out of here. So, but we're going to take this fractal thing further because it hit me hard. When God showed me this, I was like, man, fractal, right? Because there's some other things that I do that are fractal, but I didn't understand it fully. So let's define it. Fractal is a pattern that repeats itself at every scale. How do we know that to be true? Look at what happened to Tyr. Ezekiel spent 3 chapters talking to these cats. He talked to the city. He talked to the prince. He talked to the king. That means everybody getting it on a different scale. But because you all had the same sin, you all getting it. It's just coming at different scales. I'm going to destroy the nation. I'm going to destroy the secondary leader. I'm going to destroy the main leader. Think about that in your house. I'm going to destroy the daddy. I'm going to destroy the mama. And I'm going to destroy them kids. Because you have turned your face away from me. You operate in our key word, sin. That's how, far too often in Christianity, we focus on the micro. Man, look at what they did. They lust. They cursed. They, they stole. But we get away from, what does all that mean? Where did all that come from? Like when you talk about the big picture, what are you really doing when you steal? You're not just taking somebody wares, you're activating something else as well. What do you really do when you curse? You're activating something else. What do you really do when you cause violence? Because look at what happened to Satan. His initial sin was pride. What did he turn into? The embodiment, second picture please. He turned into the embodiment of sin. Notice, Satan does not have control over sin. Satan cannot make us sin. He can tempt us into sin. That means that sin is self-activating. It just keeps going. Now, Major, I'm sorry in advance because I didn't let you know this earlier. I'm going to ask you, you can sit up here for a second because I'm going to see if I can borrow you for just a moment. Now, we got hints of this too, right? So let's take it to the word so you don't feel like, okay, well, you're just making up this fractal thing, right? Go ahead and turn with me, please, to the book of Romans. And we're going to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12. It's a quick verse, but it speaks volumes. Romans, chapter 5, verse 12. And this is Paul speaking. It's funny when you're up here and you hear them pages flipping. You'd be like, let me see. Oh, no, that's just a slow one. I'm just joking. But I was the slow one, so don't worry about it. Like, well, when these phones came out with that Bible app, I was like, on 10. So Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it reads, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that goes to how we justify the concept of these other angels, because they started enveloping sin in their heart as well. So now we got a virus here. And God said, no, that can't sit up in here. Not in my presence, because I don't allow it. So it's got to go. So he cast them all down to earth, right? Same thing happened with Tyr. We talked about it, right? It scaled itself. We went from the nation getting destroyed, secondary leader getting destroyed, the leader getting destroyed. When we talk about the fractal nature of something, and go ahead and hit that image for me one more time, I'm sorry. You can literally make this by continuously drawing circles on the graph. That's how sin works. You can literally make this. And a cardioid, not to get all crazy with it, essentially when something's fractal, when you put in the equation, it will never veer too far from itself. So it always stays close enough to connect. That's how sin works. If you feel like, that's nonsense, can you give me the next image, please, sir? Look at what it's doing. We can now see the fractal nature. These are all cardioids creating themselves within. Next image. Now look at this big piece. What do you think this little cardioid is over here in relation to us? You can say it. It's the next generation. That's our kids. See, that's the sins. That's when we get the concept of generational curse. Like when we do certain sins and we continue to let sin envelop inside of us and we don't go to the grace point and we don't cut that thing off, we start passing that thing on. And we know what it does. It envelops itself. You don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. All of us can see stuff that we did back in the day that we weren't supposed to do that has enveloped inside of our children. I don't care what nobody says. Like, I got 6 of them joints. And all of them cats have portrayed something that I did when I was young. And I was like, yo, like something's off. Like that belt be working. And I know, but that's what it is. So if we don't go into repentance, we just continue the cycle. Next image, please. And I think this is our last one. This is inside, these are other fractal things inside the earth. The veins in our lungs, trees, lightning bolts. If you take a lightning bolt and you dissect the lightning bolt, it is an infinite amount of lightning bolts making a lightning bolt. It works just like that. So it's telling us something about God's nature. He shows us patterns. He shows us who he is through his creations. He shows what he does and doesn't accept. So if I accept sin into my heart, and I say I'll never correct it, and I let it keep bubbling and bubbling, that lightning bolt is the generation of my families. I'm just going to keep giving it, giving it, giving it. Yeah. You got it. Great, 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 whatever. You get it. You get it. You get it too. That's how it works. Now, let's get back to a little bit of the lighter side, right? I hit that part. One of the things that we should always do when we see stuff like this and we start to understand God's nature and personality, the enemy uses our sins to try to hold us down, right? Mentally, physically, whatever the case. He tries to tempt you to think you can't ever get away from that. See, the part about being fractal is you got to break it. See, that's why Christ came in the first place. Because I'm going to give you an example of what happens in a believer. Can I borrow you for a second, Brother Mage? So now, Mage, I ain't trying to put this on him, right? Like, we ain't trying to have no tear moments here, you know what I'm saying? Mage is going to be the physical embodiment of God. Right. I'm going to be the believer that's supposed to walk with God. Why? Because think about this. How close is God? He's inside all of us. He, the Holy Spirit, is inside of all of us. That's how close he is. So every time I walk, my Father is right next with me. And really, he ain't following me. I'm supposed to be following him. So here's what happens when we let sin just kind of keep permeating. All right, we're just going to take some small steps and walk forward. All right? All right, God, you know, things going great. Dun, 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 dun. You go ahead and stop right there. Yeah, God. Dun, 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 dun. And then I sin. And here goes the fractal nature of sin. Now, we still talking, right? Hey, can you, I can hear you, God. Dun, 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 dun. Then I don't address those sins. And it keeps building up. Yeah, God. God. Yeah, man. Da, da, da. And as that fractal nature keeps on. Oh, God. Hey. Woo-hoo. Then it becomes a situation of, it's not that God left me. I separated myself from him. So now you got this gulf. True story. Me and my brother was talking about this yesterday. The two main questions I get asked since God has allowed me to start doing this or come into the kingdom like this is, what happens to us after we die? And the main one is, how do you hear from God? The answer is right here. You cut the sin. Because if sin operates to separate, what is the opposite? Yeah, we got repentance and grace. So guess what else is spiritually fractal? Grace. God, can you hear me? Okay. Grace. Grace. To bring us back together with him. Thank you, Mary. Far too often as believers, we take that for granted. The closeness we're supposed to have with God will dictate our daily walk. Our daily walk is to be led by He, the Holy Spirit. The further we distance ourselves from He, the Holy Spirit, sometimes we just throw in darts. Like, I might be in a place, yeah, I'm good. I'm doing great. I got a good salary. But in the form of the Spirit, I might be doing something good. Because if its origin is not tied to God, directed by Him, through He, the Holy Spirit, then I ain't doing nothing. Don't mean nothing. He said that. That's His word. Yeah. All this other stuff, you're doing a great job. Man, you gave somebody some turkeys. You know, you gave somebody $20. Did God tell you to do that? And you can't know if God told you to do that unless you have a conversation with God. Amen? Amen. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And we're just kind of digging a little further into the grace concept, right? Because I think what we're running into as believers now is, again, not a political statement, but I caution us as believers, when we walk around in the world, we have to understand what we're dealing with. And when you get into politics, the way that it's intended to separate, like in its nature, you have two different groups with two different ideals searching for something. That's instant division. God does not desire His kingdom to be divided. Not inside of His word, not inside of our morals, not inside of anything that we do. Division is not God in any way. So now when we invite ourselves into those situations, it's an automatic losing battle. And I don't care what side you're on, because you've already divided yourself, which is naturally against God. And what do we say? Anything against the will of God is? So now we invite that sin into the place. That's why we got so much violence going on. That's why we got so many issues going on. And what is it doing? We're getting the tier, like I don't want to call it the U.S. tier, but you know, the pattern is the pattern. So we're getting into a tier concept here where we've allowed sin to envelop itself all the way. But don't just keep it to the U.S., keep it to the world. We got people, we got Israel beefing, we got Russia beefing, we got China beefing, and sin has enveloped itself in a fractal nature to grow large enough to where God got to be like, you know what? I remember last time them Noah cats was acting up. Yeah. Oh, y'all tripping? You tripping? No, sir. You tripping? But here's the thing, right? Even if God asked us if we were tripping, would the leaders of the world understand and hear Him enough to know? Could they receive the warning? Right? We go through it in marriages. We go through it in relationships. Like, I'm warning you, bro. Like, what we got going on here, this ain't gonna work like this. Like, I love you, but I'm trying to get right. You trying to get right, but we ain't getting right. You not fixing nothing because you're not hearing me, and I'm not fixing nothing because I'm not hearing you. We do it all the time. That's why when we talk fractal, we talk scales. You notice how we just talked about the world, and then we just talked about relationship. It's the same problem. Same issue. You notice how we talked about the prince and the king, and then we talked about us? That's the definition of fractal. Sin affects on every level. So those angels could not stay in heaven because God wasn't having it. He said, no, y'all got to get up out of here. I can't deal with you. Adam and Eve, you want to sin? This is a holy place. You got to get up out of here because I ain't having you infect my place. Now, you can come repent. You can pray for forgiveness. You can pray to be created anew. Get back right with me. Get back next to me. Let me guide you. But until you do, you over there? I'm over here. I got you from a distance. But don't be coming out here yelling, Jesus, God. And I'm on the other side of the mountain because that gulf of sin that you allowed yourself in between. And it goes for all of us, right? We all have sin. Let me make sure I put that out there. We all have sin. This is a call to repentance for all of us. I didn't understand why God was on me the way about this. I was like, okay, God, like, you're not even letting me let this one go. But the more you study, the more you realize the effects. On the way here, I was driving here, and I've gotten so used to it, it's terrible. I was driving, and a guy looked at me from his car. I'm going to just say it. I'm not trying to judge the dude. But I think he's so spiritually deaf that he didn't even realize he was looking at me with hate in his eyes. And it happens so often now. Y'all have heard me talk about my Walmart trips. Like, it happens so often now that I don't get, I'm like, whatever. If I got to get to that place about people hating me, and it goes vice versa now, right? Like, I ain't trying to turn this into a race, culture war, anything like that. If you really want to get in a race, go study Bacon's Rebellion. That'll help you figure out where that whole problem came from in the U.S. But when you become so spiritually deaf, then you have to understand, what am I doing wrong? And how is it I'm doing what God has called me to do if all I do is envelop sin? Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to get ready to come to a conclusion on this. One of the things that, you know, I really, you know, Pastor has been emphasizing to all of us, take a nugget. Like, if you didn't get the whole thing, because I went into some stuff that some people heard frack and they thought fractions and shut down. I seen it. I saw it. Listen, John, I saw you. I said fraction, the deuce said. But, you know, because everybody, I don't know why people hate fractions the way they do, but it's, we went into a lot, but take a nugget to understand. And if you're going to take any nugget, take this one. Repentance is important because sin is intended to separate us from God. Amen? Amen. Amen.